No, just a great song from Steve Bell. I feel the winds of God today. And we heard from Jamie Collins Owens earlier than that. And we had music from Buddy Green this morning. Lots of variety, as usual, on a Broken Road Tuesday morning. And great conversation ahead with the Reverend Dr. John DeLancey, who joins us now from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh. What do you figure, mid-80s out there today?
Mid-80s with some storms coming about noontime, yep.
Okay. And how about them Pirates, huh?
Well, they're out of first place by half a game, but
yeah. Well, they didn't play yesterday.
We're still enthused about the Pirates, and looks promising as to the playoffs, but we'll see. The whole month of September still is ahead of us.
Well, that's a very magnanimous statement coming from a Phillies fan, I think.
Well, I guess it's easier to be a Pirate fan.
Yeah, it is this year. It certainly is. John is a pastor at a church there in Glenshaw and makes frequent trips to Israel. In fact, he's headed out again in October and again in November. You were there in June and July and April. You got a lot of frequent flyer miles coming, I know. Busy guy. Biblical Israel Tours is the name of John's tour organization. And, of course, you can visit them from our website if you're listening this morning on Broken Road Radio. But John is, I still hate to call you an amateur. You're an archaeologist. I mean, it's in your background. You've done digs. You follow it closely. I don't know why we just can't call you an archaeologist rather than, appending amateur to it.
I guess I have excavated a couple sites before, but hoping to get back into that next year. So I probably think amateur archaeologist is...
Well, there's nothing wrong with being an amateur archaeologist, but you're the head of our archaeology department, John. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you very much for that title.
Yeah. Hezekiah's Tunnel. It's made the news recently. You've just located an article. And apparently, the experts are revising their thinking, or at least considering some other possibilities for that. Hezekiah, tell us about the history of it, the size of it. Where is it?
It's located south of the Temple Mount today. It's located outside the old city walls of Jerusalem in the city of David proper. City of David was, of course, south of the temple as well. And this tunnel is a very integral part of the excavation here. The tunnel itself was actually found in 1838 by Edward Robinson, American explorer. And it has a lot of relevance to biblical history, and that's why I think it's important to talk about it today.
Now, tunnels are a lot of work and represent a lot of time and effort and need to be economical in their plan. So I imagine this is a straight line, and does it run east, west, north, south? How does that work?
Well, it's actually not a straight line.
Oh.
It's 1,720 feet long. The grade is 0.6%, in other words, the drop from the beginning to the end is only about 2 meters, or about 6 feet. So it's quite level, but yet there is a slight slope so that the water from the Gihon Spring, which is a karstic spring, it's the same spring that, for instance, King Solomon was initiated into kingship at in 1 Kings chapter 1 there. But it's a tunnel that was, according to the Bible, in 2 Kings 20 and 2 Chronicles 32, it was cut out of the rock by King Hezekiah.
Well, now, just to play, so to speak, devil's advocate here, the Bible tells us a tunnel was dug. Could this be, is it necessarily the same tunnel?
Well, I believe it is. It was dug in the context of the invading kingdom of the north called the Assyrians, specifically King Sennacherib, who actually, in records that were found in Assyria, actually described surrounding Jerusalem and Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. So there's even an extra-biblical reference outside the Bible to Sennacherib, and the text of the Bible says that Sennacherib indeed was surrounding Jerusalem. And it's in that context that Hezekiah, according to the Bible, cut this tunnel out of the rock in order to bring the water source, the Gihon Spring, safely inside the city walls.
It'd be an invisible pathway that the Assyrians couldn't attack, at least not easily. and if they even knew about it, thus assuring a water supply for inside the walls. So it's a very important tunnel. How long do you suppose that took to make? And would Hezekiah have had that much warning before the Assyrians?
Well, that's a leading question because of the attempt to redate Hezekiah's tunnel to something either before or after this Judean king. Geologists mostly agree that it would have taken between 3 and 4 years to dig. The inscription that was found at the very end of the tunnel, it was actually found in 1880 by a couple Arab kids who were walking through the tunnel. Of course, at that time, the water level was at least above the waist. When I used to play hide-and-seek in there as a student, believe it or not, in the early 80s, the water was about a little above belt high, so very interesting to walk through there. But when the inscription was found, it's actually a quite impressive inscription because it tells us how the tunnel was made. There was two teams of rock cutters, if you will, one starting at the Gihon Spring and the other starting at the very end. And the inscription tells us that they could actually, when they got to the meeting point about halfway, they actually could hear each other's pickaxes. And until they broke through, you can walk through the tunnel today and actually see where they sort of went left and right until they actually broke through and met each other.
That's quite amazing. That would be quite well. It is amazing, and you mentioned the gentle grade to it. It's over a quarter mile long, so to give people just a mental idea. That's once around the high school track, or longer than that. Now straighten that out, and you have Hezekiah's tunnel. How far below ground does it go?
At the deepest level, it's about 100 feet below the bedrock.
My goodness, that had to be an arduous task. And we tend to underestimate sometimes the engineering skills of the ancients. This was a marvelous accomplishment, wasn't it?
It really was. In terms of starting at two ends, they probably did make a circular pattern, if you will, so that they would potentially meet somewhere in the middle, and that's exactly what happened. Although some geologists believe that they simply followed a natural crack in the rock and allowed that fissure, if you will, to lead them to the right direction of cutting.
Now, is this still in use today? I mean, there's obviously still water in it. I'm looking at a photograph. And by the way, when we upload this this podcast onto our website, we'll give you a link so that you can look at these pictures and follow this story as well. But is this still usable water? Is Jerusalem making use of it?
I'm sure the local village of Silwan is still using it. It's diverted somewhat now, so the water through Hezekiah's tunnel is, other than the first 25 feet or so where it's above your knee, it's typically below your knee, so it's not much water that flows, but still it's the same water that flowed 3,000 years ago when David took the city.
Do you suppose this was the water supply for Jerusalem then? I mean, would it have been enough volume to satisfy the number of people that were there?
Yeah, for sure. This was the only source for the city of Jebus, and I'm sure for centuries they depended on the gently flowing water of the spring as the primary water source for the entire city.
Well, what's the new thinking on it then? I guess there are some saying that it couldn't be that old, that it was done in more recent times.
Well, there are three opinions now. Some of these have been around for a while, but there are three leading opinions as to redating it to a time period away from Hezekiah. So the first is one that's perhaps proposed by looking at the Siloam inscription itself. The handwriting In the paleographical studies of...
Now this is a plaque at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, inscription that actually is housed now in the museum in Istanbul. To some suggest that the writing is not First Temple, but it's Hasmonean. So based on the type of writing on the inscription, the handwriting, they date it to a time period about 400 or 500 years after the time of Hezekiah. So
that Hasmoneans were what, about 150 BC? This is when they there was a revolt against the Romans, and then Israel kind of took control of itself there for at least a while. And then Hezekiah, that's 8th century BC, so we're looking at 600 years between them.
Mm-hmm. Approximately.
Okay.
Other geologists have suggested a second date. They don't believe there was enough time for Hezekiah to cut the tunnel when Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, came from the north. So they date it to a time period about 50 years after, or to the time of Manasseh, who was, of course, Hezekiah's son and successor. So they believe that it should be called Manasseh's tunnel, not Hezekiah's tunnel.
Well, I suspect Hezekiah is going to stick. Being traditionalists that we are. But I suppose there could have been work from a number of different generations on it to improve it, to enlarge it maybe. So it could really be a combination of all those things, couldn't it be?
It could be. The third opinion is Ronnie Reich and Eli Shukran, who are the current excavators of the City of David now. In fact, I just saw Eli a couple times this past July and actually talked to him. They're great archaeologists. They've been digging here for about 15 years now, but they actually date this part of the tunnel to a time period before Hezekiah. So they perhaps would call it the Jehoash tunnel after the Judean king who reigned from 835 to 801 BC.
Okay. Well,
they date this tunnel based on the type of pottery that was found in the vicinity.
Okay. Well,
there are new excavations happening by the Gihon Springs. So.
Okay. Well, we could find out more. Yeah. Okay. Well, the water, you know, a need forever, and again, not to underestimate the skills of the ancients even before. I mean, this could go back 2,000 years, as a or 3,000 years as a source of water for that area. And but 100 feet underground, and I just can't imagine those guys digging rock 100 feet below the surface. Talk about labor. That would be nasty.
Well, again, as we talk every week about the relationship between archaeology and scripture, here we have the scriptures telling us that it was dug by Hezekiah, and yet archaeologists and geologists telling us differently. So I guess we have to assess the starting point. What do we do with scripture? Do we just disregard it? Do we look at archaeology as the primary source of dating? Or is it a combination of the two? And of course, for your listeners, it's something that needs to be processed through the lens of both disciplines, the biblical study discipline as well as archaeology.
Well, I can't imagine disregarding it. I mean, there's too much history in the Bible, and it gives you clues. It tips you off as to what to look for, where to look for it, and when it was probably there. And so much has come to the surface now, so to speak, that confirms what we know in the Old Testament, what we read and believe, that there's no reason to think that that this is anything other than a tunnel constructed by Hezekiah. But it's always good to toss it around and debate it, and I guess the subject in front of people. And I think that has a beneficial effect. That brings us back to the Bible again. And just kind of double-checking, you know, keeps our nose in the book and comparing it to what we hear about and we see in the media these days. So, and that's why we love talking to you, because you just kept us alerted to these things. And the trouble with archaeology, though, is it takes such a long time. You mentioned these two have been there for 15 years. This is lifelong. This is a career to discover these things, isn't it?
It really is. And archaeologists can find something next week that would perhaps cause them to reanalyze what they just found a month ago. So archaeology does reveal interesting things about the relationship of structures and tunnels like this with what's mentioned in the Bible. But my starting point is the Bible, and certainly if it's quite clear that Hezekiah should be attached to the tunnel, I'm pretty good with that, and I think that's sort of where
you would be of the Hezekiah school of thought, then.
Okay. I would be, yes. Yeah. Good way to put it.
Are archaeologists talking to each other? I know for a long time, and archaeology really got serious in the Holy Land in the 19th century. I mean, it's been going on since the time of Helena, if you can call that archaeology. That was more scavenging, I think, and taking stuff home. But archaeology and science kind of teamed up in the 1880s, 1890s in the Holy Land, but there wasn't a whole lot of communication. Does that happen now? Do these findings get written up and talked about and examined so that you can cross-check it with perhaps other evidence, other digs in the area?
Oh, that happens all the time. In fact, that's an expectation of an archaeologist to publish, whether that be an article or a full publication of the particular season of dig. So that's certainly going on, and it always makes for lively debate and discussion in archaeological symposiums.
What are some of the publications that people with an interest should be looking for?
I would highly suggest that the first magazine that they subscribe to would be the Biblical Archaeology Review. In fact, this article appears in the September-October edition, and it actually is entitled something like, Should Hezekiah Be Dislodged from His Tunnel?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very fascinating, well-written article by Herschel Shanks, who is the editor-in-chief, if you will, of BAR. And that would be a great starting point. It's meant for both scholars and lay people alike.
So once again, and there'll be a link to this article so you can get to the magazine off of our podcast later today under our audio archives tab at Broken Road Radio. You can also visit Biblical Israel Tours. John, how are things shaping up? I imagine October's about closed off, isn't it?
Yeah, the October trip is closed. We have about 20 for that trip, but yet people are still signing up for the November trip, and that'll be... These will be my next two trips to conclude this year.
What's weather like in Israel in November?
It's actually quite pleasant. It's like Atlanta weather, so we'll probably have highs between 70s and 80s, perhaps 60s in Jerusalem, but certainly
higher altitude. Yeah,
most likely rain-free and very pleasant.
Okay, and what's the security situation like now?
Security is still good. It's very safe. Even despite what we hear going on up north in Syria, there are no issues with safety for people who travel.
Okay, and I'm sure people contemplating a trip to Israel are checking the news every day. And another place you want to check is BiblicalIsraelTours.com. Easy and quick to link to off of Broken Road Radio. Reverend Dr. John Delancey, pastor from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania. As always, John, looking forward to your conversations on Tuesdays. And thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And we'll look forward to John again next Tuesday. Music from Gordon Moat moves us along on this Broken Road Radio Tuesday. Good morning to you.